Today on Real Radio.
When we sing songs, God of Wonders Beyond, that's not a hymn. That's considered more by the musical people as a song of praise. I don't care what you think about it. Every time I hear it, I want to cry with a smile on my face. There's songs that do that to you too. Don't let anybody ever rob you from that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? It's a collection of topical lessons that takes a look at what Scripture has to say about the activities and the lifestyle of the believer. Now, we're in a multi-part series that answers one of these questions. It's called, Why Should I Worship? It's sad to say that a lot of folks professing to be believers today define the W word in a very narrow way. But the Bible has a lot to say about how worship is part of everything involved in the life of the believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called, Why Should I Worship?
Honestly, I had to stop when I wrote this down. When was the last time I even heard the word fascination? And I thought about that. If we run a daycare center, the word may appear there, fascination. We may not write it down for the little ones, but it's what we see in their faces. Everything's fascinating to them. When you get older, everything's been there, done that. I hope I don't get old. I mean, I know I'm getting old, but I don't want to get old that kind of old. Fascination. Fascination, according to A.W. Tozer, again, regarding worship, fascination is something that we wind up experiencing just before we get lost in it. Fascination. When's the last time you were fascinated? Shocked, terrorized. When's the last time you were fascinated? Went to a Laker game on Valentine's night. And you know, I've never been to a professional sporting event where the home team has ever won in all of my life. That's no exaggeration. I've never seen a home team win, ever. However, we were with a beautiful couple here that attends this church. The seats were unbelievable. And it was a great night out in Lakers. 7-game winning streak. Remember, every Angel game I've ever been to, they've lost. That's why you did not see me at the World Series. I had 2 invitations to the World Series. I did not go. I'm not a superstitious guy. I just could not take the grief. No pro team has ever won with me in this grandstands. So we're sitting right off the floor at Staples. And guess what? The Antonio Spurs came to play basketball. The Lakers never showed up. I mean, they were there, but they didn't play. I couldn't believe it. So you know what I did? I wound up watching people. It was hilarious. Yeah, there was no game, so I watched people. And people were fascinated. Not with a game. Because that's the great thing about the Lakers at Staples. If they stink, you don't have to watch the game. There's Denzel Washington, you can watch him. There's Della Reese. You can watch him. Jack Nicholson. You can watch him. Diane Cannon. Joe Millionaire. You can watch him. He was there. I could go on and on. Pat O'Brien. He was there. All these movies. Jim Hill. He was there. You can go on and on. I'm just shortening it up because I don't have much time. In the world. See, when the game stinks, you just watch movie stars and famous people at the Staples Center. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of nice if the game goes bad. You get a little something for your ticket, you know? But the world's fascinated. And people are, look at them, there he is. Look, look, look. Oh. And you look at that and you just got, you know, what is the deal? I don't think we can be fascinated truly unless we're fascinated in God and with God. Fascinations, it's an awesome word. Awesome meaning. To get lost in it. A.W. Tozer says, if you can explain the object in which you're worshiping, you cannot truly worship it. Aren't you glad that you cannot fully worship the things of this world because you understand them? Do you worship your IBM? Your laptop? Do you worship it? No, you hated it. You don't worship a mountain. You know what a mountain's all about. You don't go out there and worship the ocean. Who would worship nature like that? You know all about it. You got to be crazy. How about worshiping the one who created the nature, who the Bible shows us just enough about him for us to fall in love with him and to be in awe and fascination of him, and yet not be able to figure him out fully? The Bible says that he's past finding out. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that there's a mystery to God? He told us that he loves us. He told us so much that he loved us that he's going to send his son to die on the cross. He told us that he'll forgive us. He told us that he'll separate our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He told us that I'll take you to heaven. He told us that when all the world is falling apart, I'll fill you with peace. And then we're going to go be with him and spend forever getting to know the rest of him. It will be awesome. It will be fascinating. It's going to be exciting. It will be a response to the victory that Christ has prepared for us. Fascination. Fascination. Two young people showed up at my door this week. They were actually at my house. I was not home. I pulled into the driveway while they were there, and I met them in the driveway, and they said, you know what, we want you to meet our God. And they began to tell me. And I said, well, there's, now right there, I would just hold it right there. You see, I said, I have a God. And it was great. One of them went, oh, and the other one went, and I said, I have a God. And what you just said about your God sounds a lot like mine. Sounds a lot like mine. But you know what? The truth is, I know a little bit about the God that you worship. And if you were to keep talking, you would tell me this about your God, wouldn't you? Yeah. And you would then go on to tell me this, huh? Yeah. And this is how he is, and this is where he came from, and this is your future, right? Yes. And I said, that's not my God. My God said this, 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 and this. Now we have a problem. Because if my God is the same as your God, then neither one of us have a God, because it's contradiction. We clearly have two different gods. And my God loves me unconditionally. My God has written a love letter to me. I don't want to read what some man has written. And I don't want to hear how I can somehow do some cosmic dance to draw his attention, that he might favor me somehow if I just do that good enough. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna ask that my God gives you a really, really good day. And I don't mean drive safe, and I don't mean have a good lunch. I mean that you go from door to door in this community and you hear about my God. And I said goodbye, and we parted ways. And I walked into the house, and the water fountain is out front in my house, out in front of the window, and there's a little hummingbird drinking out of the water fountain. And right then God just says, you know what? You're going to be talking about fascination and my wonderment. Don't ever forget it. And the little hummingbird there, he was oblivious to the conversation, could have cared less. And all he was doing was living his day, that hummingbird was, to the glory of God. He was just humming. He was just flying. He was just drinking, taking a bath in the fountain, doing what hummingbirds do. I'm a Christian. What do Christians do? Well, the first thing we do is worship the Lord. And then whatever we do from that moment on, it's still an act of worship unto the Lord. Fascination. Is God not awesome? If you're not living like that, I don't know. What are you doing? Is there life in you? There's no life without worship in. Then we learn about astonishment. Noah Webster helps us with this. Astonishment, victory, the worship, the victory is an astonishment. These are words that we've lost in English, but let's let the first guy who brought it all together tell us what it means. Astonishment. Noah Webster. Noah Webster. Read about him. He's one of my heroes. Noah and Daniel Webster. Kind of know who that might be? Noah Webster, by the way, Noah, not Daniel. Noah challenged his pastor to a Greek and Hebrew definition of the Greek and Hebrew words at 8 years of age and beat him at Greek and Hebrew. So he was smarter than the average bear, Noah was. Noah put together the American Dictionary in 1828. You can buy it. Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. He says the word astounded means, or to be astonished, excuse me, it means to be overwhelmed. Dumbfounded, flabbergasted, amazed, dazzled, speechless, shocked, stunned, befuddled. We hear these words today in our modern world. It's like, oh, so what? They had meanings to words back then. They were not revisionist. Powerful words. Do you know what the world is looking for right now, everybody? When they're not worshiping God, if you're not worshiping God, you know what you're looking for? You're looking for to be overwhelmed. You want to be dumbfounded. You want to be flabbergasted. Somebody amaze me. Will somebody dazzle me? Somebody leave me speechless. Someone shock me. Somebody do something so I'll be stunned. I want to be befuddled. And so you have stupid reality TV. You know what? Why don't I tell you, unplug it. And find out what it is to know the God of the universe and worship Him and find the fulfillment of the meanings of those words. Because you know what? Listen, you didn't think this would be a lesson in English today. I should actually sit down and get Kevin or somebody else up here. But y'all heard of the word amusement? You know what it means? You know what it means if you break it down. What does the word muse mean? To muse is to engulf yourself in it, to eat it up, to experience it, to know it, to be fully immersed into it. Muse, to muse upon the Word of God or the heavens or, you know what muse means? It means to unplug your brain, to detach, to get far away from reality. So because man does not want to worship God and find his complete fulfillment in God, we create things to help him. And I'm not saying they're a sin. Don't get me wrong. But we call them amusement parks and amusement because we don't want to think because there's nothing to think about worth it anymore. And the truth is, just one little decision away in your mind stands before you an eternal God who will fulfill everything that your heart desires. Muse on Him and be satisfied. Reverence in worship to revere God. Not only reverence, quickly, adoration. Victory in worship, we experience adoration. Adoration. Before we end with the last consideration, adoration is a very difficult word because if you look at the definition of it in Scripture, both Greek, Hebrew, and English, and I would imagine for any language for that matter, it's almost been so prostituted and raped by the world that we don't know what it means anymore. It's safe to say, to some degree, I don't even know if I know what it means anymore. The adoration of something is to be so in love with it and to be so committed to it and to be so intoxicated by it that nothing else in the world appears to exist. You are in adoration. You adore. We say things like, oh, I adore that. And it's nearly blasphemous to the meaning of the words. You adore? We don't even know what words mean. To adore God. For those of you who were here yesterday at that wedding, I've done a lot of weddings, none like that one yesterday. There was a man standing right here, and his bride-to-be right here. He was trying to convince me before the wedding that he was calm. He was trying to act cool. And it might have worked for some people. But as I watched him come up here, as she receives, or as he receives her hand and they step up here, he was absolutely as close as to astonished as I could imagine. He comes up, and then time came when I said, will you turn and face one another? Then I said, and you know, it's a long string of things. I said, repeat after me. Will you, Gilbert, take Angelica? Yes. And I said, no. I said, wait, no, not. He said, I'm sorry. He's nervous. He's sweating profusely. If you were here, you saw him wiping. He just was sweating. Then he starts crying, and he got sweat and tears. And I started to go again. For better, for worse. Yes. I'm sorry, no. Was I supposed to? No, you weren't supposed to do it yet. I told him, not yet. We got to get through this. I said, you're killing me. I said, I did. If you were here, I said, you're killing me. Stop. We have to stop. We had to pray. I stopped the wedding. We had to pray. He's like this. Physically, if you were here, he's going, oh. We're going through the vows. He's going, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. He's just, and she's looking at him. And I know, and she looks at me like, what a loser. He can't even get through this. So then I say, I come to the end, and it was obvious. It's time for him to say, you know, I do. And he looks at the audience. I said, what are you doing? Look at her. Now, yes. It's, yeah. I do. So she's going to show him how it's done. So, Angelica, do you take Gilbert? And I went through about halfway through. She goes, I do. She couldn't wait either. The moment it was over, I said, now, turn and face your friends, your audience today. Ladies and gentlemen, please join with me in celebrating today. They couldn't wait. They're, come on. They're married. They're out of here. I don't even know if they ever made it to the reception. They were gone. It was unbelievable. So we gotta take pictures. Pictures? Oh, man. They wanted out of here. I don't know for what, but they wanted out of here. He was engulfed in her. She, by seeing him, became engulfed in him. When we look upon him who loved us with an everlasting love, no wonder why we love him back who gave his life for us. No wonder. And I told a young girl who was there, I said, listen, don't ever marry any man, ever, who is not like that man was today. Ladies, listen up. Don't marry any man who is not like that man was yesterday. He was nuts for her. And I told him in that service, don't let that ever change. Don't let that ever stop. Which leads us to the conclusion of this, and that is praise. To praise God. Now listen, if you want to fight on this topic, I want to warn you, I will fight with you endlessly. God has given us hymns throughout the ages, and He will give hymns, and He's given hymns now. And the Bible says that we should sing hymns. It also says that we should sing spiritual songs. The Bible says that we should worship and praise the Lord. You ever heard that? There's a real arrogant, self-righteous smugness that flows through certain churches that any other expression other than the old ancient hymns are from hell. You know what? I'm glad that God's not listening to that kind of junk. You want to know why? God is in the hymns of old, He's in the hymns of the now, and He's in the praises of the old, and He's in the praises of the new. You want to know why? Those hymns of doctrine, we love them. And by the way, Don does a great job of making them lively and up in our current age, as they were back then in their current age. But don't ever let someone ever put you down regarding your praise. You want to know why? Praise implies a spontaneous expulsion from your heart unto God. And much of praise, traditionally, is unrehearsed. You praise God, I would imagine, when you see perhaps a profound sunset. You ever had those moments? The other day when the clouds parted, that happened to have been a certain day last week in the evening, and literally there was a massive cloud with the sun behind it, and it had a silver lining. And I stopped coming out of the door of this church, and I said, "Wow, God, You're cool. That is cool." And I went on my way. I just praised Him. When we sing songs, God of wonders beyond, that's not a hymn. That's considered more by the musical people as a song of praise. I don't care what you think about it. Every time I hear it, I want to cry with a smile on my face. There's songs that do that to you too. Don't let anybody ever rob you from that. Praise Him and worship Him. Sit silent in adoration and stand with the expulsion from you of praise. That's what the Bible meant when it said, "Let the mountains shout. Let the heavens be glad." That's praise. Praise is awesome. And worship, of course, is its root. There's a time for hymns, and there's a time to shout.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "Why Should I Worship?" It's actually Pastor Jack's series within a series called "Why Should I?" It's a collection of studies that takes a look at what God's written word has to say about the life of the believer and how it's to be lived. It's a pretty interesting series, don't you think? We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's Monday, and of course that means that tonight you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We think you're going to like it. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 p.m. West Coast time. That's on hischannel.com. Real Life with Jack Hibbs is the perfect name for this TV program, as you'll often see Pastor Jack sit down with some fascinating guests to talk about those hard-hitting topics and issues that affect all of us every single day. And of course, Pastor Jack always addresses these topics through the lens of Scripture, that is, the Judeo-Christian worldview. So, Real Life with Jack Hibbs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on his channel. That's hischannel.com. In fact, we've got a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org, and our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.